Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. And our 11 o'clock hour, Lisa Gardner is a number one New York Times bestselling thriller writer with over 30 million copies of her books in print worldwide. A self-described research junkie. We'll ask her about that. Lisa has transformed her interest in police procedure and criminal minds into a streak of these acclaimed novels published in over 30 languages. Her novel, The Neighbor, won Best Hardcover Novel from the International Thriller Writers. She's also been honored for her work with Animal Rescue and Outrisk Children. An avid hiker, gardener, and cribbage player, she lives with her family in New England. And her latest book is Kiss Her Goodbye, a novel. And it is just out, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Lisa Gardner back to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. What a nice treat to have you here.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure to come back and talk about the new release.
Yeah, the new release. How long for you has this one been in the works?
It generally takes me a year to write a book. This one took slightly longer. The research was much more complicated, as it does deal with Afghan refugees. And so more than learning a procedure like forensics or something related to criminal behavior, it was really a study in the human experience and a really just amazing time of talking to these refugees and what they'd gone through and their hopes for the future. Very, very inspiring.
What brought you to want to tackle that subject and to the point of writing a novel about it?
At my heart, I'm a domestic thriller writer. I love those family situations. And this book is definitely about a family. You have a young mother, a father, the four-year-old daughter. But yes, the different factor is that they are an Afghan family fleeing Afghanistan after the fall of Kabul and looking to make a new life now here in the United States. And some of this came about because I met a couple, and this is the volunteer work they do. They assist with resettling refugees in Tucson, Arizona. And when they were done talking about this process, I mean, refugees are legally recognized. It is, you know, the federal government that's giving them permission to come in. But the fine print is you have 90 days to get up and self-sufficient. And wow, all the challenges inherent in that. It was just fascinating to speak with them. And the struggle is very real, but at the same time, all the refugees will tell you, this is the best thing that has happened to them. Like, this is their shot at a better future.
Enter Frankie Elkin. Frankie is a recovering alcoholic and whose work really seems to want to help those that the rest of the world has forgotten. So this certainly brings her to Tucson, and it is something that is of interest that then becomes a major part of the investigation and to look further to try to solve this problem. What was it about Frankie that made this situation perfect for that character?
What I've always loved about Frankie is because she's not trained law enforcement. I mean, she's just an everyday person. She's a nomad, wandering alcoholic where, you know, staying in one place just doesn't work for her. Whereas keeping on the move, you know, she'll even say being invested in other people's problems helps keep her from drinking. But her superpower is adaptability. She is the perfect person to come into the situation where a friend has reached out and said, another Afghan refugee, that this young mother who's only been in the United States for 10 weeks has disappeared under mysterious circumstances. You know, the police aren't looking. The husband doesn't even seem to care, which is suspicious in its own right. But, you know, there's this four-year-old girl that wants her mother back. I mean, someone needs to do something here. And those are the charges that Frankie takes on. You know, there's a line in the book where someone says, why do you even do this? This isn't even your fight. And Frankie's just like, it is always my fight.
And wondering why it isn't the fight of others, right?
Yeah, it's more like, why do the rest of you not do this? How can you look away?
Right. And that does tap us on the shoulder as readers to wonder, oh, well, are we always aware and are we turning our backs?
Yeah. And especially this, I think the heart of a great thriller is something important needs to be at stake. And this book is very much, you know, surrounds this 4-year-old girl who so far has had a life of trauma, to be honest, but, you know, now is in the U.S. and desperately, desperately wants her mother back, of course.
I'm interested in this character who I know has been compared to Jack Reacher. But this is, and I guess that's because of the intensity of which they're interested in solving and their overall background.
Yeah, I joke both of the characters. They all are, you know, harkening back to the lone gunman, like, you know, the Western day where, you know, we had that hero that went from town to town, you know, saving the day. And, you know, Lee Child has a great passage with Jack Reacher where he talks about, you know, Jack Reacher says, you know, back in the day, everyone wandered. And then there were some people around a campfire who said, we should just stay here and build a life. And then the others were like, nope, we're going to keep wandering. And Jack Reacher, Frankie Elkin, they're at their best and their truest selves when they're on the move. Trying to stay in one place and have, I don't know, a mortgage, a white picket fence, that's the part of living that makes no sense to them.
What brought you to Tucson, of wanting to bring these characters to Tucson?
The couple I met who are doing the volunteer work live in Tucson. And when they start talking to me about the city, too, there was just so much, again, I didn't know. It's home of one of our largest Air Force bases, so it's actually quite multicultural. You know, you've had service people who've been all over the world. You've been the people who've assisted them, including the Afghan interpreters all over the world, you know, who, you know, have now come and made Tucson their home. It has a lot of rich cultural heritage and amazing food. One of my favorite parts of researching Kiss Her Goodbye was, you know, for the sake of the novel, I had to go eat Afghan food. And it is so yummy. It's comfort food, which is just not what I had pictured at all. And now that I've had dumplings and ferny pudding, I mean, there's no going back. All I want is Afghan food.
Well, it sounds lovely, Lisa. It sounds very good. But do you know from the outset that you're going to, it would be fun to write about Afghan cuisine, and, oh, I want to write about lizards?
Well, I mean, again, I like to say that I did it for the book. I did everything for the sake of the novel.
Yes. But you're the ringleader, and you get to decide what goes in and what goes out. So there has to be a germ of an interest to say, okay, I'm going to take the next step and include this.
You know, I've always loved books that allow you the opportunity to walk in someone else's footsteps. And the more I heard this couple talking about the experience of working with refugees, and they've worked with refugees coming from all sorts of different countries, and then the resettlement agencies and, you know, the work that they're trying to get done and the challenges inherent, the more it's like, I didn't know any of this. Like, I mean, I thought in my mind I knew what a refugee was, but then when you start getting to this nuts and bolts and what this experience is really like, let alone the refugee camps, I mean, it kind of blew my mind. And I thought, if this is as fascinating and interesting and moving to me, I think it would be to other people as well.
This is a humanitarian issue, of course, but hello, 2025. It's also a political issue. And I'm curious as to how you deal with that in the novel of trying to stay true to the subject without getting mired in the politics and the silos that creates.
I think in general, as a human being, that you can go through life thinking of all the ways we are different from one another, or you can go through life thinking of all the ways we are the same. And when I spoke to the refugees, when I talk to people in general, when I'm talking to the people doing this work, what always strikes me is the way we are all the same. What drives so much of the refugee experience is this is your best hope for a safe and better future for your child. And is there anyone on this planet that does not want to do the best they can for their child? So that's the heart of the story, and that's what we continue to come back to. And I think it's something any reader can, you know, feel for and be empathetic. We all want a better future for our children.
So with that said, is there an awareness on your part that that this issue can be politicized and it's something that you want to avoid, or do you not worry about that?
I think it's in trying to build awareness, I'm hoping I'm doing my part to bring attention to it. Refugees are legally recognized. That's one of the first things I had to learn. There's a difference between a refugee and an immigrant, actually. A refugee is legally recognized by the United Nations. And it is the government who has said, like, we'll take 150,000 refugees this year. And it is the government that assigns them where they go. So, you know, there's kind of a fine print there. Though at the same time, all of this still comes back to the U.S. remains a beacon of hope for people from other cultures and countries. And, you know, certainly it's something I hope we can live up to in the end.
You just said one of the things that I had to learn, and I mentioned in the introduction about research, and you're known for rabid research. What was it like in this particular case, in this novel, of what you wanted to find out, what you had to find out, and where you go to find that out?
One of the biggest challenges for writing this book is, of course, if you're writing about the refugee experience, refugee camps are a huge part of that. You know, it is a legal standing, but like anything that's happening legally, it takes a long time. So you're in limbo forever if you're a refugee. Like, I mean, it can be several years, it can be decades before you can finally get granted permission to go someplace else. And yet, when I'm interviewing with the refugees themselves, the first thing everyone is telling me who are active in these communities is do not ask about the refugee camps. No one will speak of them. They're that traumatic. They're that awful. So now I'm trying to learn about refugee camps, but I can't talk to people who are at the refugee camps about the refugee camps.
Yeah.
But interesting enough, if you continue to kind of ask around, my own editor, it turned out her sister had volunteered in actually one of the more infamous refugee camps. And that kind of opened up also this whole, like, Doctors Without Borders. Again, those kind of volunteers who are active and going and giving their time and probably a piece of their soul to do this work. But yeah, finding out how to get that information, how to ask those questions and get, you know, some firsthand experiences. But of course, I don't want to be traumatizing anyone. That's not fair either.
I'm going to ask a question, and I'm still forming it in my mind. So if it's clunky, I apologize. but it just struck me that it's interesting that as you write about this, you can write a thriller, you can write a mystery, you can write about a murder, you can write about people who are knee deep in some crime, and will often just affect those characters. But it is different when the story is also in the news and we can relate to it and know that not only is it happening to the characters who were on the page of the latest Lisa Gardner novel, but is also happening in our communities like Tucson and other cities across this country.
Yes. You know that whole thing, a spoonful of sugar?
Yes.
I feel like we're inundated by politics. We're polarized by politics. One of the things a good commercial fiction book or movie or entertainment can do is make it present you with some interesting information and experience, but be the spoonful of sugar that helps it go down. Because I think people are getting burnt out on a lot of following news, but if they pick up a great thriller, which again, it's really a family story, and how far would you go to save the people you love, which you can relate to, but also brings you some experiences maybe you didn't know anything about. Well, it's win-win for everyone involved.
The name of the new book is Kiss Her Goodbye, and it is a brand new Frankie Elkin story. It is just out from Lisa Gardner, and it's published by Grand Central. Lisa, a great pleasure to have you on the program as always. Congratulations on a terrific new read, and I thank you very, very much for sharing with us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bye, Lisa. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Kiss Her Goodbye by Lisa Gardner. The book is published by Grand Central. You are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.